We've seen some cooling over the past couple of months after earlier in the year seeing quite a vigorous warming in the tropical Pacific Ocean. And like I say, that cooling means things have backed off a little bit. We're not completely away from having an El Niño this year. There's still a 50% chance of that occurring. There's still a significant risk. But indeed, things have eased a little bit, and we're not quite on the cusp as we were only a month ago.
Why have the oceans cooled so much?
Well, for an El Niño to occur, we actually look at what's happening in the oceans. But for climatologists, we're really interested in that ocean, what we call coupling, so joining up with the atmosphere above it. So we get lots of nice heat from the ocean that tends to drive cloud and weather patterns and so forth. Now, we haven't seen that coupling, that joining up of the ocean and the atmosphere above it this year. And there's a number of reasons we think why. But because we haven't seen that reinforcing of the atmosphere and the ocean together, that we actually haven't gone into an El Niño this year and indeed started to back away from it a little bit.
It's interesting because there were reports of the possibility of the strongest kind of El Niño, a really, really big temperature differential in the seas. Why the big change?
Well, actually, the Bureau, and indeed our friends over at NOAA, the American equivalent of the Bureau, we always shied away from that sort of super El Niño term and so on. We were saying to people, look, there are some similarities, this was early in the year, some similarities with 97, 98, and that was considered the El Niño of the past century. There were some similarities in the deep ocean, but realistically we had to see that atmosphere and ocean working together. And there were signs there that we weren't seeing that working together even quite a while ago. So we were saying to people, gee, be very cautious with terms such as super El Niño, because we're not actually seeing things happening in the atmosphere as we would have to, as would have to happen if we're going to have such a big event. And indeed, that appears to have come true. We haven't seen that connecting between the atmosphere and the ocean, and the event hasn't actually gone along as we might have expected.
So how likely is it that an El Niño will still develop and that conditions and circumstances could change again before summer?
So we were saying, well, we were at what the Bureau would call an El Niño alert status. We've backed that off to what we call an El Niño watch status. So we're definitely not in the clear as yet. There's still, as I say, about a 50% chance. And what that actually means is in a normal year, there's about 20, 25% chance. So we're about double the normal risk of an El Niño. So we're certainly not out of the woods yet. And indeed, five of the eight models that we survey from around the world are still suggesting an El Niño may occur. But clearly things backed off a little bit in recent weeks, and look, with any luck, things will back off a little more and we'll be in the clear for the summer.
Can the Bureau see any need for concern from a farmer's perspective, for example, if a couple of months ago there were reports that there might be a potentially very severe El Niño and now it's a 50-50 scenario?
Look, I think it's important that people understand, and I know most farmers do, risk management, and particularly people on the land, they're dealing with risks all the time and have a good sense of how odds play out and so on. So I think it's very important that agencies such as the Bureau and indeed the American agency NOAA and the World Meteorological Organization keep up fairly regular updates on events such as these so people can properly manage the risk. And we know our models are reliable, so if we're saying there's a 70% chance, we will actually get an event at least 70% of the time.
This latest observation, you say, has largely come from cooling in the tropical parts of the Pacific Ocean. What's going on in the Indian Ocean that is significant here as well?
So unfortunately, what we typically see during an El Niño event is a similar pattern in the Indian Ocean that also reinforces dry conditions. But what we've seen happening this year, or rather just over the past couple of months, which correlates pretty well with that period when El Niño has started to back off, is the Indian Ocean has become quite warm near Australia, up in the northwest between Australia and Indonesia. And that's effectively feeding moisture into the atmosphere in that part of the world where you get these northwest cloud bands streaming in over Australia, over the continent. And hence, it's actually conditions favourable for rainfall. So in some ways, we've got El Niño on one side in the Pacific, or something that got close to it, and what we call a negative Indian Ocean dipole, but a pattern in the Indian Ocean that favours rainfall. They're kind of competing to some degree over parts of Australia. So parts of inland Australia and parts of Victoria and South Australia have had bucket loads of rain. And then, of course, Queensland, parts of New South Wales are wishing they had buckets of rain. So some competing influences there. Indian Ocean is very important to monitor, and at the moment it's favourable, but the models suggest maybe only for another month, maybe two at best.
While we're talking about El Nino, when you look to the Northern Hemisphere, 38% of the United States is in drought at the moment, so clearly they're not getting enough rain. Is that an indication that an El Nino is less likely as well?
No, well, actually, this is partly why some people in the US would very much like to talk up an El Nino. So when an El Nino occurs, they actually have warm water in their part of the world and so on, and that increases rainfall, particularly in California. Now, you've hopefully seen some of the news where we've heard about the very severe drought there in California and their water storage is dropping away, and we're seeing wildfires in the US, you know, the likes of which are pretty rare. A lot of that is due, unfortunately, to the La Nina and the effects after the La Ninas of 2010-12, because La Nina brings them dry and El Nino brings them wet, almost the opposite of us. So, unfortunately, they're cheering on an El Nino as hard as they can because they need the rain after such dry conditions for so long.
So it's not an indication that an El Nino, if they're getting so much dry weather up there, does it suggest that the El Nino predicted for here is less likely?
Well, an El Nino just refers to what's happening in the Pacific Ocean. There's that warming pattern in the Pacific Ocean. So the dry conditions there, you know, that sort of suggests that the El Nino hasn't fully kicked in. If it had have kicked in, they would have been starting to get wetter conditions, particularly in California there. So, look, it's a bit of an indicator that we haven't seen a full-blown event yet. But having said that, we've been relatively dry conditions through large parts of Asia and so on, Southeast Asia. So that is fairly typical of a development stage of an El Nino. So like I say, when an El Nino is developing or, you know, partially there, you do see some impacts in some locations. It doesn't necessarily give you impacts in all locations. And the Americans, they really wish that we were getting an El Nino to end their drought, particularly in California.